Hi, I'm Scott Bourne. You're listening to the Triple Exposure Podcast. I'm joined today by my co-host, Rich Harrington. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Scott.
Today, we're going to let everybody know we aren't dead. We are here. We never promised a specific recording schedule, thank God.
I was going to say, that's a good thing. Yeah.
But we are here with another podcast. And today, we're going to talk about things that generally get everybody excited in the photography world, new tech.
Yeah, it's exciting where it's going. I mean, we've had announcements of a bunch of new cameras lately from, you know, from all the big players. And I know recently you got your hands on a brand new camera technology. So, I mean, I think that's really cool where that's going. And if Adobe's recent communications are to be believed, you know, software is just around the corner. We got a whole bunch of new stuff coming out, so it's going to be an expensive spring for a lot of us, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was like there were a cornucopia of announcements, hardware, software, etc., over the last couple of months, and especially the last couple of weeks because of CES.
I was going to say, and that's in your backyard, so you probably got a firsthand view of a few cool things.
Well, you know what's really great about being here in Las Vegas during CES?
Casinos and showgirls?
No. The fact that everybody who came to the show that's been here for years knows the secret is to get off the strip as quickly and often as you can. So I literally scheduled 9 meetings right here in my studio. I never actually went to the show floor. It was great.
The tech just came to you.
Everybody came to me. Yeah. So I had meetings with everybody right here in the studio. I didn't even have to get in my car. And one of the best meetings, we'll just get right to it, was with the folks from Lytro. This is perhaps the most misunderstood technology in the world.
Well, that's easy when so few people, like, except you and like 3 others, have actually held it.
Well, and the thing,
I've already paid for it. It just hasn't come yet.
The thing is, here's what I love about the internet. There are like thousands of Lytro experts out there who have never seen the camera, never touched the camera, never seen an image from the camera, but they do know a guy named Dave who had a sister named Sally who used to date a guy named Tom who's friends with the postman who delivered a magazine at the Barnes & Noble about it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I think it's just one of those techs that, you know, is going to change things. And, I mean, fortunately, they've been very forthcoming on their site with a lot of details. But, you know, you and I both know the last thing people on the internet like to do is actually read other people's stuff.
Oh, so my God.
It's just much easier to guess.
You mean deal with facts? Come on. I'd rather just have opinions. Here's the thing. Everything you think you know about this camera, you don't. It's as simple as that. The whole thing that everybody's talking about and the demo that's cool is the in-post processing focus. But the way that's talked about is people think, oh, well, that means there won't be any need for a photographer. It'll just be, you know, anybody can focus later and this is horrible. And it's just not that at all. I'm going to tell you straight up right now, if anything, this camera will require you, Rich, to be a better photographer than you already are.
Well, it looks to me again, I'm going to come out with an assumption, although I've researched it enough to give them my actual dollars, which means I did look at it because I'm a little stingy. It looks to me like there's not that many controls on the device. So
there are 2 buttons.
Okay, so you kind of actually probably have to think. If there's only 2 buttons, you usually have to think. It's kind of like the iPhone. It's not that simple of a device. There's a lot of things, you know, there's only 2 buttons on the iPhone, 3 buttons. So, you know, tell me about it.
I think one of the buttons is redundant. So
Apple has a patent on 1 button devices, you know.
Okay, that might be why. There's a button to turn it on and off, and there's a shutter button, but the shutter button also turns it on.
That sounds redundant.
Yeah. And there are no other controls on the camera with the exception of there's this touch-sensitive barrier on top of the camera. You simply roll your finger across it to zoom in and out.
So is it like a trackpad sort of thing?
Or? Yeah, it's sort of like a trackpad, although you can't tell. I mean, it's built right into the camera body.
Okay.
There's no apparent – I mean, looking at it, it'd be like one of those science fiction movies where you're looking at the puzzle and you don't know where you stick your fingers in to cause the wall to open.
Oh, okay.
Looking at it, you would never know.
And what's the focal range on the camera? You know, does it – I mean, I don't know if that's the correct term for the way they're doing it.
Here's the thing. That's where we – right now we got to just stop all that conversation. We really do. Okay. This isn't about focal range. It's not about apertures. It's not about shutter speeds. You really, you just kind of got to stop thinking like that. Let's sort of back up. I'll just tell you.
Do you just meditate with the camera?
You meditate. You be the camera. here's the thing, Rich. Let's just talk about it from this perspective. This will help you understand. Here's what I saw with my own two eyes, demonstrated in my studio in front of me. I saw a time lapse that was made with this camera. So you're probably thinking, oh, cool, it does time lapse. And so is our audience because they like time lapse. And yeah, it does time lapse. That feature will not be turned on in the first iteration of the software, but it is there. Now, here's where it gets interesting.
So who do I pay to turn it on? That's what I want to know.
We'll talk off mic and I'll fix you up on it. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Here's what's really cool. Now, this is where you've just got to sit down and grab something because it's going to cause vestibular interference for you. Are you ready? I saw the focused shift during the time lapse as well.
Wow.
So, we're talking about time lapse with the usual time lapse kind of stuff.
Right.
You see stuff moving. And during the time lapse, the focus point was moving around down the line with the time.
In an attractive way, not an unattractive way.
In an extremely attractive way. The demo I saw was a series of lights or lanterns or something coming on with numbers on them, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And so as the time lapse moved, you'd see the numbers come on, but you'd see the focus point shift to the light that was coming on during the time lapse.
Now, that's very cool. Do they program it in advance? Or
it's just a script.
Huh.
Now let your brain bake on that for a minute.
Script, computers, scary, no, fear.
It's not real tough, but I can tell you that if you think about the ramifications of that, Rich, being able to move things like nodal points and focus points in post in a time lapse, now you're cooking with gas.
Oh, so in other words, you didn't have to pre-program that with the script.
Negative.
After the fact, you could tweak it.
Yeah.
Oh, I can handle that. That's software. I'm good.
It's all software. So basically, this is just a
little... Software makes me a better photographer all the time.
It's a little thing that looks like a kaleidoscope. You put it up to your face, and there's a little LCD, and you take the picture. But the thing I'm trying to get everybody to understand is this is a consumer camera. I mean, this first iteration is not aimed at... the Joe McNally's of the world.
But we've seen that sort of thing time and time again, Scott. I mean,
yeah.
The first cameras that had video, like everyone was thinking about DSLRs and video and the 5D Mark II. I mean, it started on the D90. And even before that, I had a Leica point and shoot that had it. So, I mean, that shot raw and shot video. And I love that little camera, the Deluxe II, I think it was. So, I mean, let's just be honest. In today's economy and the way things are, it's got to start with the consumers. Let the company get some cash in their pockets, get vested, get some mind share. But
I will say this without divulging too many details. The very last thing that Lytro is worried about today is cash in their pocket. They are well, well funded, my friend. We should have the problems Lytro does with cash. It's a whole bunch of money sitting in the bank. They're not.
Well, as I said, they've had my check for months now. So.
Well, and they've had.
Cameras actually ship.
They've had a much bigger check from the fellas down on Sand Hill Road for a long time. They were oversubscribed in their Series A round in about a half a minute. So they're not going anywhere. But this technology, what you're going to see in the Lytro camera, is basically proof of concept, Rich. That's it. It's proof of concept. It's to get you thinking about it. And here's where it's going to be very exciting. In version 3, it's going to be in cameras that we use, the kind of cameras that we're serious about. And maybe as soon as version 2, it's going to be in video. Now, let me tell you, that's where I actually see a very strong application of this. Because what's the hardest thing in the world to do with a video DSLR?
Focus. Followed by expose.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to be able to say, oh, well, we'll just go ahead and turn on the Lytro button inside the video camera and we'll get to focus later.
Oh, that would be awesome, especially since, that type of sensor seems to be well suited for those resolutions. So, yeah, that would be a game changer because, everybody – focus is hard for a lot of folks. I think most photographers, most being a broad sense, not the ones that consider themselves in the top 3%, probably don't realize – how often they never leave one of the priority modes on their camera. And if you're not shooting manual, it's like, you know, either you never learned or, you know, it's like you grew dependent on it. I mean, at this point, and I know you'll laugh at me, Mr. Race Car Driver, I can't drive stick to save my life.
You know? Well, I learned okay. We're moving it. Everything to paddle shifters, Rich. You'll be fine.
Oh, well, good, good.
Yeah, I remember you're driving 35 miles an hour behind me on the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. But in your defense, you were in a rental Tahoe.
Yeah, I was going to say, with six people, it was a little bit big and wobbly.
Yeah. And when you saw the 19-degree bank, though, I bet you were thinking, oh, wow, this is not like home.
First I laughed, and then my business partner says to me, so, whose insurance is this vehicle on?
No wonder you turned into a little dot in my rearview mirror. Anyway, the whole thing here that I'm excited about is how this tech will get wrapped into our future products. That's the reason to buy the camera now, is to get used to the tech, to be thinking differently. And let's just start right off the bat. You know how you think about things when you get your DSLR and you go to take a picture? You think a lot about focus, right?
Yep.
So you know what you got to think about when you're using a Lytro? Out of focus.
Out of focus.
You literally can't make this camera work unless something's out of focus.
Okay.
Now, I'm just going to say that again. The emphasis in a traditional still camera is to get something in focus. The emphasis in the Lytro is to get something out of focus.
So we're not doing like Bob Guccione Vaseline on the lens to do that.
No. This is how the tech works. The lens in the basic camera is F2. That's it. It's an F2 lens. To help force us into a shallow depth of field so that something will be out of focus.
And then I assume with that fast, this is pretty good in low light, because there sure as heck didn't look to be any flash technology on that camera either.
No. Yeah, it's fine in low light. But keep in mind, this camera's real platform is designed to make images that will be interacted with on the internet, which is the other thing that's weird about this. Yeah, it'll make a 5x7 print, looks great. That's not what it's for, though. What it's for is to click a button, send it to Facebook, and then have your friends play with the focus point.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. Let me tell you, everything you think you know about it and photography in general, you got to stop and say, whoa, wait a minute, that's hard to think about. And, you know, there'll be the typical people that just aren't able to do any critical thinking or are too lazy to or don't care to, and they'll just forget about it. But
I'm already have thoughts of ganging multiple ones of these together for a panorama that you can change the focus point in. But
You don't even really. I mean, it goes. Listen, here's the cool thing. Now, the way they're going to do this is, so you're going to have your interactive Lytro picture, let's say, that you've uploaded to your Facebook page. In version 2 of the software, they're going to turn on maybe this ability to do the time lapse. And they're going to turn on a couple of other little things that I know that they can already do.
Oh, so let me step back for a second if I can ask this, and you may not be able to answer this question, but are we talking version 2 of a camera or version 2 of a software package?
I don't know the answer to that question, but it could be either.
Okay.
I mean, here's the great thing. The software is independent of the camera. And just like Adobe updates Camera Raw.
Yeah.
These guys will be updating their software. Now, here's where it gets interesting, Rich. Let's say you've taken a picture with your new Lytro when it ships in March, they hope, and you post it to your Facebook page. And then let's say 6 months from now, version 2 of the software comes out. Without you having had to do a thing, whatever new features they turned on in version 2 are now embedded in that picture that you posted from 6 months before.
So this is like the Skynet approach.
Yeah, it is. So let's say that they turn on the ability to shift the nodal point in version 2.
Right.
Which, by the way, I saw them do it.
That's sweet.
That it'll just be there in your picture. Like they took a – this is really hard to even talk about because I was sitting there looking at it and I still can't believe it. But
So these guys obviously don't really care for status quo or traditional models of, oh, you want that? Give us more money. You want that? Give us more money.
No. By the way, the camera just natively does 3D, just so you know. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Could it make me coffee in the morning and drive me to work? Because I'll buy two.
There's only one lens, and yet it does all the 3D modes, every single one of them.
Wow.
That's just built in. But then they showed me a demo where they took a picture of something and they clicked.
Did they take you to Area 51 to show you the spaceship that crashed that they took this out of?
I don't know. Then they took me to a place where they showed me, like, take a look at this picture. Now, what would happen if you took two steps to the left? There it is. They actually shifted the whole picture and revealed part of the picture that wasn't there in the first iteration.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, it's not like a crop. It physically
You move.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this has a lot of interesting ramifications then, where, you know, certain panoramics we're going before with like QuickTime VR tours, we could potentially see a resurgence for things like real estate photography or interactive tours where the person could truly get submersive and start looking around.
Well, you really know, I'll tell you what this is. This is a foothold on holography.
Nice.
This is, in fact, they said they've been working on holographic projectors for this. So this is the holodeck.
I have a holodeck in my lifetime?
That's Dude, you're going to see the holodeck in your lifetime. Now, here's what the ramifications are.
People think Facebook is like crack.
Yeah, trust me. I'm going to be busy. I've got an appointment for the next 6 months on the holodeck. Me and Mario Andretti are going to race. Here's the thing. This stuff will really take off after the usual naysayers and trolls and people that hate everything in life attack it. Then it gets in the hands of real artists. Lytro predicts that it will do things that even they hadn't conceived of, because real artists will come up with ways to use this stuff that will blow everybody's mind.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this just looks like to be one of those technologies that is groundbreaking and will open up opportunities for people to try new mediums. I mean, it looks really cool. I can't wait to people start, you know, I'm hoping that they'll have like an API to a certain extent to allow other people to develop stuff into the software, because this just has the potential to change imaging.
Well, they are going to open up an API. They said they don't want to be in that business. So they're going to have APIs and SDKs and all that kind of stuff out there. I mean, we're very early days in this, Rich. I mean, it's going to be a couple of years before you really understand what this means. But in terms of getting used to shooting with this new methodology, I mean, you really have to think about how you're going to shoot. This is why I say the photographer is going to need to be even more skilled, because instead of thinking depth of field, you got to think plane of field, like near, middle, and far. You got to think about, I need foreground and background objects to make this work.
Composition.
Yeah, you have to think about like the way you – here's people – I've said this in my article that I wrote about this. If you've already done any 3D work, then you're ahead of everybody on this.
I was going to say, that's what I was just thinking about. Like when I cut up photos into 3D space or I'm working in 3D animation, it's like foreground, mid-ground, background.
Yeah, you're thinking of like that commercial we've all seen from HTC where the guy's playing ping pong and the ball comes straight at him. Yeah. You know, the tricks that we see in the traditional 3D movies. That's what you're going to want to think about as a photographer. You're going to want to think about something like the picture that I posted a picture on Google Plus that was taken from the Lytro, a picture of me holding my the very nice little statue that Scott Kilby gave us when we spoke at Photoshop World, the little glass thing, you know?
I didn't get one of those.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm kidding.
Oops. Sorry about that.
No, I'm kidding.
Anyway, it's a little award thing, and it's got NAP written on it. And they put that in front of my face.
Right.
And then they took the picture. And then in post, you can tap on that thing to make that in focus, or you can tap on my face behind it to make it in focus.
Well, I mean, the thing that I'm laughing about this, too, because you said it's an F2 lens. I know so many photographers who, you know, don't have lenses that go faster than 4 or 5. I don't think they are going to realize what that's like, having that sort of control. That's really pretty.
But now here's the thing that's going to screw everybody up. They're going to think, oh, well, F2, I can't get enough depth of field. Stop that. Stop thinking like that. Because with this camera, you can hit one button and everything in the picture is in focus. Everything.
Right. It just stacks those, sort of like stacking those together, combining.
Yeah. It's like you had F64, but you didn't.
Right. Well, that's pretty amazing. I mean, and I guess I'm just being preemptive here. Is this something they're going to keep, or is this something that's going to start ending up in other manufacturers' cameras? I mean, I know we saw that some people were doing more mirrorless cameras now, and, you know, there seems to be some shift going on in the traditional camera realm, although new point and clicks coming out, although I'm not sure how long those are going to last. It seems like the market is sort of up for a shakedown.
Well, I can't speak for them, and I don't know what all their plans are. They intimated to me that they discussed, and I know they discussed with several manufacturers licensing this technology as far back as 6 years ago when it first was invented. But I think that they got to the impression that, you know, they were concerned that if they licensed it to the big camera manufacturers, they would just promptly shelve it.
Right.
And figure it out later. And
they'd call it Microsoft.
Yeah, they wanted to get it to the market. So They're gonna bring it to the market, and then when the market catches up, I think the rest of the companies will license it, or at least the SDK or API or whatever they release. But I think there's major application of this in the video space.
Oh yeah, no, that just is going to be amazing, because you know so many people after the fact are struggling with, oh, my subject moved a little bit, they fell out of focus. I mean, looking at the software demo, the ability in post to just click right between your subject's eyes and lock that focus in.
Yeah,
that's going to be awesome.
Well, let's also just talk about Lightroom 4 beta came out.
Yep.
And as you already knew, but you couldn't talk about, and now the rest of the world knows, there's a much larger emphasis on video.
It seems like Adobe and other companies are starting to get that video actually matters.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, there's stuff I know that's coming that I can't comment on, but it's nice to see so many people embrace that. I mean, it's pretty cool where they're taking it, and I'm glad that they did a public beta. You know, just, you know, Adobe always does that. The Labs page is so awesome with all the features that they're putting in there. So yeah, I think it's pretty good what they're doing. I mean, it's exciting. You know, the ability to, you know, keep your video library organized. We kind of had that before, but now being able to do color processing and to trim things a bit and then publish right out of there, you know, I think this is exciting. I mean, it's just Facebook and Flickr. I'm a little surprised they didn't put Vimeo in yet, although maybe that's on the queue. But it's nice to see that, you know, they're sharing features in there, because I think that always invigorates people to get more involved once they start getting feedback.
So as somebody that's got experience with Aperture,
yeah,
how would you rate the current Aperture video tools with the current Lightroom 4 beta video tools?
That's tough. They seem pretty close. Looking at it, I think you have a little bit more color correction controls to video in Aperture than you really do. I'm sorry, in Lightroom than you really do in Aperture. You've got better publishing tools in Aperture, but you know that's pretty simple.
Would you say it's a push?
It's pretty dang close. I mean, you know, it's like, it's nice that you can do the white balance and the black clipping and saturation and vibrance. You can't really do that much to video in Aperture. So I think they actually may have a slight lead there in that they're giving you some more color correction type things. But I think that Aperture has more publishing options, and I still think Aperture has much better slideshows than Lightroom.
So I'm assuming that the color correction stuff is tapping into Premiere Pro.
No, the same core technology, I think.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what Adobe calls that Mercury Engine technology that they've been using is sort of a combination of CUDA, which is currently tied to NVIDIA technology, but they're opening that up, and they've also been tying stuff in. Don't break my non-disclosure agreement. There's been lots of stuff going on under the hood with how video is processed. And so people on modern computers with 64-bit OSs, video is no longer the pain that it used to be. So I think we're going to see people, you know, I mean, you've been able to open up video in Photoshop for a while, but, you know, this is a nice hint with Lightroom 4 how you're not going to feel a big pain difference between working on a photo and working on a video. And photographers are going to be able to work with video in the ways that they want to work with video, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's all kinds of exciting stuff coming down the road. We're going to see video play a much more prominent role in every post-processing software package that you can buy from here on out. And that will be important to our audience, particularly if they like to do time lapses. But moreover, I think with the addition of these technologies like Litro, we're going to just start redefining the entire space where we exhibit photography and imagery in general. It's not going to be a matter of the web or print. It's going to be a matter of pretty much everywhere.
There's going to be
imagery everywhere.
I think one of the things that continues to amaze me and that a lot of photographers are losing track of, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love printing and I love printing on canvas and printing on metal and beautiful things that are mounted. But if you are going out into retail environments, hotels, you know, museums, you name it, public spaces, electronic signage is king. Yeah. And it's amazing with that. I mean, you know, we're not going to be that far away from people having apps on their phone so they can interact directly with electronic signage, you know, move through a Litro picture or a virtual tour. You're down in the lobby of a hotel and you're looking for a restaurant and you want to see photos of it and you can move around and look at it, you know, with technology like that. I mean, we're going to get to this place where people just want to manipulate. Microsoft's PhotoSynth is a nice tip to that. I think, you know, our audience who's into making, in many cases, bigger pictures, you know, panoramics, time lapse that show passage of time. If you are a person interested in high quality imagery and you're also interested in just showing more, which is really what our three areas of focus do, I think it's exciting times. You know, we're moving beyond the world of getting prints at Walgreens, which is, you know, sort of where people have been stuck for years of, you know, prints. I talk to younger photographers and the concept of getting their work printed seems so foreign to them.
Yeah. Well, you can still make prints even from the Litro camera. I mean, you can make prints from anything and it's easier than ever to make prints. I'm getting prints off my new Epson R3000 that every day I look at them, I just can't believe the quality.
Yeah, so it's absolutely. No, I mean, I still think printing is relevant, but I think for the commercial use of photography or the public display of photography, that printing is going to become increasingly less relevant.
Well, here's what I you know what I'm reminded of? Blade Runner.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember Blade Runner?
I'm stuck on the clothes right now in my head. Thanks, dude.
But seriously, if you think about like all the projected imagery that people were interacting with and flying their spaceship cars through, etc., I think that's really pretty much where we're going.
And I think that's a good thing. I mean, it's immersive imagery is always very cool. That's one of the things I've always loved about panoramic photography and time-lapse photography, and for that matter, HDR, to create something that people will spend more than that's a nice picture, click. You know, something that they sit there and they absorb the details and they look at the finesse, you know. It's, you know, you're taking a moment that you saw or a location that you hiked to or discovered, you know, and you're sharing that for others. It's really nice when people actually take the time to absorb it or, you know, get transported to that in the mind's eye. And I think these sorts of technologies are going to do that. I mean, I found myself spending a lot of time on those Litro demos. And even though it was, and I don't want to say it's a gimmick, but the same sort of thing of like, oh, clicking and moving the focus around, I still found it interesting looking through the picture and what the choices were. You know, it's the same thing that is appealing to me about a good time lapse. It's just really attractive to be more immersed in the image and to get to go places that you haven't been. I mean, I can't wait to see. I hope they get these cameras all around the world and, you know, get people playing with them because there's all sorts of places that could use more photographic documentation.
Yep, I agree. Well, we're going to wrap this one up. If you're interested in the kind of things we're talking about, we cover them over there at 3Exposure, the number 3Exposure.com. And Rich, when you're not on the show here with me, where can people find you?
Sure, I maintain a personal blog at just Richard Harrington Blog, and I'm on most social media under Red Pixel, REDPIXEL.
Okay.
And where can they find you, Scott?
Over at photofocus.com 7 days a week or over on Twitter at Scott Bourne, SCOTTBOURNE. We'll be back when we're back. In the meantime, thanks for listening to the Triple Exposure Podcast.